Who is the man who dares run for president against Vladimir Putin? Boris Nadezhdin is raising signatures to make a run for the presidency. That means our Western media will love him automatically. They're calling him the anti-war candidate, that he's risking his life by running for president. Joining us from Russia is redacted correspondent Mike Jones to break down these headlines. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the media is saying that people are risking their very lives and safety by even signing up to support this guy. So can you tell us, is that the case? Is that what you see in Moscow? And who is this guy? Can you give us a brief summary?
Well, first of all, this guy was not just a new name for me. I actually asked around other Russians saying, you know, forgive my ignorance, but who is this guy Boris Nadezhdin? Roughly translated, his surname means hope in Russian. And the answers that I've received are, we don't know. And this was actually admitted in, I believe it was a Washington Post article, where it said that most Russians don't know of this man, much less care for him. The Washington Post was trying to style this as a protest vote of some sort, given that Nadezhdin is promising to not only end the SMO and enter peace talks with Ukraine, but also release political prisoners, including the West's darling Alexei Navalny, of course.
Okay, let me just clarify. When you say SMO, that's what we call the war in Ukraine. In Russia, it's called the Special Military Operation, the SMO. And Alexei Navalny, also presented as what I like to refer to as a media darling, means the media loves him and tells you you should love him, when he only has about a 3% support and only in urban centers in Russia. So he's only a media darling in the West. I'm sorry I interrupted, but go ahead.
No, thank you for clarifying. Yes. And again, with the case of Navalny, often labeled the opposition leader, which then betrays the West's lack of knowledge of the support of parties in Russia. We have Putin's party, obviously, with the majority, the second, and what you'd clarify or classify as the opposition being the Communist Party. Navalny, as far as I know, is not a communist. However, the West incorrectly labels him as this opposition leader. That leads us to these other candidates. You and your audience may recall Ekaterina Dunsova, a female journalist who came out of nowhere, very similar manifesto, ending the SMO, the Special Military Operation, the conflict in Ukraine, and yada, yada, yada. She, by her own admission, made a mistake in filing her application to be a candidate and was therefore refused. The West, of course, jumped upon that immediately, saying this was evidence of corruption and rigging elections. And now we have Boris Nadezhdin, who again has just come out of nowhere, actually a physicist by training, and served one term in the State Duma 20 years ago. So he's been recycled and placed here. He's being stylized again as this protest vote against Putin. But as soon as the West holds anyone like Dunsova or Nadezhdin now up on a pedestal, that's actually highly counterproductive to the Russian people. Once they see that, that arouses suspicion. They therefore know this person is quite possibly a Western shill. Now, if I use a reverse analogy, look what happened to Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson in the West as soon as Dmitry Medvedev praised their words or actions. They were immediately labeled Putin puppets and shills for Russia and propagandists. We see the same effect now that's rapidly coming into Russia, where as his name, Nadezhdin, is being repeated and certainly publicized in Western media, it arouses that same suspicion in the Russian people. Now, for the West to then claim about, oh, how come he hasn't been jailed and all these things which he is saying, oh, I don't know why I haven't been treated the same way as Navalny. The West tries to make that out like, oh, wow, yes, he's a real truth teller and he's risking his life. He's in jeopardy. Absolutely not. Again, let's look at the other facts. In recent polling, President Putin has an above 80% approval rating and has collected, as an independent candidate, it has to be noted, 3.5 million signatures to support his candidacy. Why would you need to rig any elections, and why would you be threatened by some outsider who's just come out of nowhere? The Russian people, as I've said in previous interviews with you, have it's been proven to them that Putin was right in the past when perhaps they didn't believe him. The West, in the way they've treated recently Russian athletes, stripping them of medals, it's very clear to Russians what the West thinks and feels about them. And then we have in these Western articles talks of expats, Russians who have fled. Now, that's quite possibly true, that Russians in the in places like Tbilisi in Georgia and other countries, maybe they are signing up for this guy. And again, as the Washington Post said, they don't know who he is. They just know that he's against Putin. So the risk is, however, that with funding and support outside of Russia, it could, by Russian laws, be seen as a foreign agent. And especially if you're donations, there is a finite sum that can be raised. I've had the same problem when raising donations for Donbass. And that is a legitimate protection and mechanism against NGOs and other interfering organizations in Russia. And of course, right. we can predict how the West might react if Nadezhdin is found in breach of such mechanisms and laws.
Oh, they won't care. Alexei Navalny is foreign supported, has accepted aid from United States linked agencies. So no, they don't care about that at all. If you want to know the truth about Alexei Navalny, I refer to the great Jack Bode book about Alexei Navalny and how much of a joke it is. Now, you and I, speaking of funny jokes, we had a little chuckle over this CNN piece that presented it as dangerous to oppose and run against Putin at all. The reporter asks a hilariously led question saying, why is the Kremlin allowing you to run? Is it a ploy to make it look like democracy? I present you this question. Is it maybe democracy? I want to show this little clip. And then as we come back, you can respond to that.
He has united the old guard of the Russian opposition, including key allies of jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny, his wife Yulia adding her signature on Wednesday, and exiled oligarch Mikhail Khodorkovsky. He's now racing to collect the required 100,000 signatures with strict regional quotas by the end of January.
People are saying that there's a deal, perhaps, with the Kremlin to allow your campaign to go ahead to create the illusion of a real democracy, or that they are using this as a way to distract the anti-Putin electorate. What do you say to those theories?
I am absolutely sure the situation will change, because a lot of people now in Russia, which started to see me in YouTube, in TV, in Telegram, they begin believe me.
That is rather farcical, isn't it? Gosh, choice. And again, let's not forget that the Communist Party is also running. Their candidate has been put forward, among other parties as well. So yes, there is choice. But the truth is, the overwhelming majority of the country is very clearly supporting President Putin. And that's not because they have any guns pointed at them or they're told on media what to think. That is because they're seeing the... as I've said, the Western actions and the benefits to the Russian economy. The IMF now has revised its forecast and increased it, I believe, to 2.6% growth for the Russian economy. What's not to like about that? With this low unemployment, okay, it's causing problems for Nabiullina in the central bank with inflation, but wages are going up. The state subsidies for families, that's also being indexed and increased. So life is improving for Russians. Why would you then change course and skip to an unknown, untested individual and just roll the dice on that person in the middle of a very serious existential threat to the country? I don't think that's a really wise choice, and it's thoroughly understandable why people would stay with the tried and tested candidate, especially for now, until things are going. The CNN article talking about how, Russians would want the conflict to end and, the territories returned. I don't believe that for one second. The people of the new territories, they wouldn't want to go back to the Kiev regime. They've suffered that for 10 years. And if you believe the Western reports of all the horrendous losses that Russia supposedly suffered from across the country as well, many volunteers coming from the other side of the world almost, over near Vladivostok and these other poorer districts as well, volunteering for very good money, around 200,000 rubles a month. Do you think those families, if they have lost people, will just go, never mind, we'll go with Nadezhdin. He's better than Putin. At least the conflict will stop. I don't think so. I think once this blood has been spilled, people want to see it through to the end, and ideally to a comprehensive, decisive victory, as is predicted and forecast.
Right. And so when the Western media is calling this guy the peace candidate, the anti-war candidate, what CNN tells us is that he will immediately go to peace talks with Ukraine. It's as if they've studied zero because Putin has been continuously offering peace talks, and it's Vladimir Zelensky who has outlawed them, who signed a law saying that it is illegal in Ukraine to attend any peace talks with Russia. So how would this guy get Zelensky to the table when Zelensky has tied himself to the floor?
I believe the detail, the devil is in that part where Zelensky outlawed peace talks with President Putin. It was
Oh.
specifically with Vladimir Putin whilst he's in power in Russia. So you can see where the West wants that regime change so badly. So that is the small detail as I understand it as well. And you're absolutely right. And there's no admission or acknowledgement of the Istanbul peace talks around March. Last year, around at the beginning of the SMO, where it could have all been resolved, potentially. There was a draft initial agreement, which President Putin held up at one of his conferences. You know, we got this far before it was torpedoed by Boris Johnson and those who offered this blank check to Zelensky. So, yeah, there's this talk of peace talks. And it's still to this day, President Putin has not ruled out the possibility or even the desire to reach a peaceful conclusion.
Right. And also, it's worth pointing out that Parliament in Russia voted for the special military operation at the request of the mayors in the Donbas region. It was not just the whim of Vladimir Putin, who likes war and thought that would be a fun way to spend the next 2 years. So, yeah, it's missing context, and they treat us like we're stupid. So we're not stupid. Thank you so much for joining us. I always appreciate your context from the ground in Russia. You can follow Mike Jones on I Earl Grey on Rumble and his Telegraph channel as well. Telegram, sorry. Thank you so much for joining us on Redacted today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.